This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning. This is BFM 89.9. You're with Julian Ng, myself, and also Ibrahim Sani. And we're looking into the biggest business conversations of the day. And of course, yesterday there was a giant leak. The so-called Panama Papers are 11.5 million pages of revelations of how the rich and powerful hide their suspicious wealth. Some say this is bigger than WikiLeaks, and this will undoubtedly add to calls to find a way to curb the thieving and the kind of kleptomania that exists among the rich and powerful of how they hide their ill-gotten wealth.
Kleptocracy has now evolved and transformed itself into kleptomania, and 12 national leaders. So these are the revelation of the 11 million pages in the leak has happened. 12 national leaders are among 140 over politicians and their families around the world who have been known to use offshore tax havens. This includes Mohammad Nazifuddin and Mohammad Najib, one of the Prime Minister's son. Now, according to documents based in the leaks, he is a director of two companies, including the company in the British Virgin Islands, namely J. Marriott International and PCJ International Venture Limited. However, it is important to note that this does not imply any wrongdoing on his part.
But there are other implications and exposés as well. I mean, the friends of Vladimir Putin, including Russian state banks and so on. Petro Poroshenko, who is the leader of Ukraine, the president of Ukraine, he's also implicated. In the UK, six members of the House of Lords, and even David Cameron's father, the present Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, involved in money that's being hidden from tax. And David Cameron is trying to push through tax reforms in the United Kingdom. So this is an expose which will be very inconvenient for a lot of the leaders today.
That's right. Not just leaders of the political scene, but a key member of the FIFA's powerful ethics committee. Remember, this is an ethics committee member of FIFA who is supposed to be spearheading reform at FIFA, has been proven to be acting as a lawyer for individuals and companies related to the charges of bribery and corruption. So it's not just klepto, it's also sports klept, if there's such a word for it.
Yeah, yeah. Even superstars like Jackie Chan and, of course, Lionel Messi, that very big football star. There is a response from the law firm, and this is Ramon Fonseca talking about whether this is a kind of criminal wrongdoing.
We are a company with almost 40 years in the national and international market, and we have never been found guilty of absolutely anything. Yes, we have been hacked in a limited way. It is so. We have already repaired the damage, but we have been hacked in a limited way.
Choice words there by Ramon Fonseca, of course, through an interpreter. Hacked in a limited way. This is 11.5 million pages of documents from the 70s till today. I don't think it's that limited.
Yeah, I mean, I shudder to think, if 11 million pages or documents have been leaked in his own words, limited way, what does it mean if he's hacked in a large way? But of course, these are a big problem for the hacking industry as well. And right now, Ramon Fonseca argues that the government of Panama must do more to actually curb the fact that they are being hacked, and private companies like themselves are being hacked willfully by agents around the world.
Banks are very complicit in this scandal. Remember way back in 2015, there was that SwissLeaks scandal involving HSBC, and that was also information being passed to the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, the same guys that have poured through these documents for the Panama Papers as well.
That's right. So the Swiss Leaks, Julian, was brought about in February last year by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, ICIJ, of which we're trying to get a member of the ICIJ. Hopefully we can get her today. But this is also important to note that HSBC is now clearly implicated and was active in shell company referrals. This is, of course, based on the evidence found on the 11 million pages of documents.
So investigators under the Swiss Leaks allege that there is 180 billion euros passed through accounts held with HSBC in Geneva, and they have been fighting a lot of fires since then. And now this revelation about how HSBC is involved in the Panama Papers scandal. Apparently, affiliates found more than 2,300 of the accounts out of the 15,600 shell companies related to HSBC.
That's right. So the 15,000 shell companies, Julian, that Mossack Fonseca is related to handle this Panama law firm, 2,000 of which is handled by HSBC. HSBC is clearly the bank of choice for shell companies. Again, it doesn't mean that they are implicated of any wrongdoing. It just means that if you're if you want to go to a tax haven bank, HSBC would be it.
You know, when we spoke about 1MDB with Arukanda on the Breakfast Grill recently, one of the issues that we raised was the fact why we asked the question of why 1MDB should be set up, right? Because if it's not going to achieve any developmental progress for the country, why set up a company that exposes the country to grave financial risk? I mean, you're capitalized at 1 million ringgit, but 42 billion of debt was incurred by the company. This really, apart from the risk, this really is a conduit for all sorts of temptations as well. And I guess in no small way, the Panama Papers would be guiding or should guide policy in a certain direction to avoid how what we call the plutocrats, a small number of people owning huge amounts of wealth, as well as politicians and their relatives, how policy should curb their interest in hiding away money, ill-gotten gains.
That's right. In fact, this fact will remain forever. And I think, if anything, people will now just, these plutocrats, so-called, will just move their tax haven from Panama to elsewhere, and we will never see these kind of cash being transferred in and out again. And in pursuit of more transparency, there's some news on the PAC, our Public Parliamentary Accounts Committee.
Yep, this is the PAC rushing to complete the 1MDB report tabling for Parliament this week, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. So the PAC member says that the Parliament's Public Accounts Committee, or PAC, is rushing to complete its report by today so that they can table it or present it by Thursday, which is 2 days from now. The question is, if you are rushing for such a report, are you going to cover all the angles? Do you have enough time to actually understand the whole concept regarding the case? My biggest question is, I know the PAC is meant to audit other people, but who is auditing the PAC's quality of work?
Well, I mean, this is where it's important to consider the composition of the PAC. There are opposition members in there. So hopefully, you know, people like Tony Pua, Tan Sing Giao, William Leong, Takiuddin Hassan, who's from PAS in Kota Bharu. Are they opposition now?
Or they are all of them opposition.
Are they PAS? Is PAS
So PAS is technically opposition because of the alliance they have had with Ikatan. So we can just call them opposition for now.
Okay, for now. So it is the hope that some of these opposition members provide the kind of checks and balances that are needed within the PAC. But the question is, you know, this report has taken some time, and the public is looking forward to looking into some of the details.
That's right. So on top of this report that is going to be submitted by this week, the minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Datuk Sri Wahid Omar, has told CNBC yesterday that 1MDB's financial model of low capitalization and huge borrowings was already unsustainable from the beginning. So this is, if I may add my opinion, Julian, something that you brought it up with the 1MDB Breakfast Grill with Arukanda.
Yeah, I mean, 1 million capitalization and incurring 42 billion ringgit of debt. You don't see this kind of what we call the gearing ratio, right? The amount of debt compared to the capital. This is 42,000 times. I mean, if you talk about companies like AirAsia, for example, companies in the airline sector, in the shipping sector, even if they hit 2 to 3 times debt equity ratio, that would be considered pretty alarming. Not to mention, 42,000 times with 1 MDB. This is something that I think we don't want this happening again for the country.
That's right. And I think once we know, we have to sit tight, but we will see the report being tabled this week. It should be made public either this week, late this week or early next week.
Okay, talking about companies and companies with high gearing and airlines, Alaska Air Group on Monday morning said that it has reached a deal to buy Virgin America.
That's right. Virgin America is one of those many U.S. airlines that can be quite profitable at the moment. U.S. airline industry right now is enjoying operating margins above 15%. And this is largely due to the decline in oil prices. Also, the industry is consolidating itself and they want to ensure that capacity is always maintained at full rate. This is so-called the capacity discipline. So for them to actually be bought out by Alaska Air, it means that the industry will consolidate even further and try to improve on efficiency together.
That's a very expensive price they're paying, actually, a 47% premium to the closing price. And they were also in a bidding war with JetBlue Airways. I guess this is really part of that M&A trend that is going on in the United States right now. I'm just not sure whether this is good for the economy as a whole, because with mergers and acquisitions, really a way to profit from that is to cut costs. And a way to cut costs is to lay off people.
That's right. So, you know, in the end, I think because of the labor laws in the U.S., it's going to be quite easy for companies to cut jobs. And we saw the jobs data already coming in and reported. It shows pretty good numbers. But I don't know whether, it's going to be good for the economy in general, because people eventually will lose jobs.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.